moment.
Okay. To speak a little about various aspects of the Pesach, of course, of the Seder, but the Seder is really what's to bring out the Inyanim, the important aspects of the Chag, what it's negeh to us, how it's supposed to affect us, how we're supposed to grow from it. We'll discuss various aspects of Halal and of Shira, we'll see some important chidushim that the Mephoreshim have told us. There's a Gemara in Megillah. We'll start out with, first of all, I want to thank Rabbi Levine for inviting me here. I want to tell you how fortunate I'm sure you are. You get to hear him every day, so you know what a brilliant Talmud Chacham he is. But I can tell you that, on the other half, when Rabbi Levine asked me to speak today, he said, make sure it's on a high level. So he holds you in the same regard that I'm sure you hold him. And therefore, I think it's a very appropriate Rebbe and class here. So the Gemara tells us that a famous Gemara, the Gemara tells us, starts out, Ar boyim v'shmoina neviim v'sheva neviyos nisnavnu lehem liYisrael. We had 48 different neviim and sheva neviyos that said nevuah for the Yisrael. And of course, we know from the Gemara in Brachas that Be'emes, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of different people that reached the level of Ruach HaKodesh, possibly the level of Nevius also. But these were the ones that we speak about, are the ones that had a message, L'doyeris, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was Koyveya, that you're going to be in the future. So there were 48 of those, and 7 Nevius, and V'lei Pichsuv lo Yisiyu Alma Shekosu B'Torah, and no one added or changed any of the mitzvahs that the Torah gave us, except for chutz mi mikra megillah, except for the mikra megillah. That's where they did add something, and they did it, of course, with a proof from the previous generations that it was appropriate for them to add the mitzvah of megillah. My dorish, what drasha did they say? So Rabbi Chiya Avor, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Uma me'avdus lecherus omru aminon shira. If they said me'avdus l'cheres, you say shira. So then kol shekain me'miso l'chaim le'kol shekain. Certainly me'miso l'chaim, when we were threatened with our very lives by Haman, so certainly we would kol shekain have to say shira. So the Gemara then follows in with an interesting question: Ihochi halal nami neima. So then we should also say halal. Why do we only say the Megillah? We should also say halal. And the Gemara answers l'fishein oimim. So the Gemara says that it was chutz la'aretz, and therefore they weren't able to be misak in a separate halal. The Gemara has other answers that the Gemara gives, but we want to focus on this that the Gemara has told us over here. So the Gemara says a very fascinating point. The Gemara says that Yetzias Mitzrayim was simply me'avdus l'cherus, and they said shira on me'avdus l'cherus. Now, the obvious question, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, "B'yitzis Mitzrayim omru shira al hayom." So the Gemara is referring to the shira that they said on the yom. So the obvious question is that what do you mean that we were threatened by our lives? The Jews screamed to Moshe, "Hamivle and Forim b'Mitzrayim." You took us out over here. I mean, if that's a pasuk from later, but we know that when they looked down, they know that they were threatened with their very lives. So how can you say that the shira al hayom was only considered may avdus l'cheres when clearly it was may misa from mavus l'chayim? That's the first question that we have to understand the way Rashi's learning. Now, this question is posed by the Gevuras Ari, the Turei Avin, actually, in his Sefer. We know that's the Shagas Aryeh. He wrote the Gevuras Ari, he wrote on some Masechtos, he wrote the Turei Avin, he wrote the Shagas Aryeh. Here's the Shalos in Shuvas. He, the great Goyin, the Shagas Aryeh, asked this question. He says, what's the Pshat in the Gemara? And he said, in fact, there's more questions to ask on the Gemara. Because you're learning out a Kal V'Chomer. If you're learning out a Kal V'Chomer, so then it has to be an appropriate Kal V'Chomer. You have to be able to say, well, if they were misakin forever and ever, based on going from slavery to freedom, so us that we are going from death to life, we also should be misakin forever and ever. But the Shagas Aryeh asks the question over there that he says, but they weren't misakin l'doyros over there. They said shira one time alayom. So how can you say, well, we should learn, certainly it's a kosh gain, that it's a, certainly a bigger nes and a bigger saving that we had over here, and certainly we should say that's not true, that's not a kavul chomer, that, because that kavul chomer is flawed. The year was only a one-time shot, and here you expect us to do it every single year. So that's a second question that we have to understand according to the way Rashi's learning up the Gemara. And a third question that he asks is, the Gemara says, Ihochi, so why don't we say Hallel also? What do you mean? They didn't say Hallel al Yom. The way Rashi is learning, there was no Hallel, there was only Shira. They didn't say Hallel. So where the Gemara, why is the Gemara ask, if that's the source of the Shira's Hayom, then we should also, by Megillah, we should say Hallel. What do you mean? They never said Hallel. Where does Hallel come into the picture? So, because of these questions, the Turi Evan learns a different shot in the Gemara. The Turi Evan learns that what the Gemara meant was, we're learning out from the Hallel that we say by the first night, by the Seder. That's all the Gemara is referring to. Not like Rashi, because he has a problem, these problems with Rashi. So he says, what did the Gemara mean? The Gemara meant to say, if we say Hallel by Yitzias Mitzrayim when we got out the first night, and that they wore Koyveya Lidoris, that's every single year, then certainly for us, we have to say where we got saved, our lives were saved over this, salvation was that much greater. So Kol Shekain, we would have to say Hallel, and of course that is the Lidoris that went on and on, and therefore it's a very good, all three questions are answered, that it was, they weren't threatened with their lives and not the night they went out, it was Lidoris, and they also said Hallel. So his answer is the simplest of answers, but of course he's not learning like Rashi, and it behooves us to understand what Rashi is saying. And if we understand, I'm sorry?
Hallel,
sure, they said Hallel the first night, yes. They said it at night. They said it at night when they were... Yeah, and that would be considered the Hallel.
They need to come pay something.
So now, if we understand Rashi, then we can understand a lot deeper understanding of what actually transpired, and we can understand also what the inyan of Hallel and what the inyan of Shira is, and what is the Gemara going back and forth, and what is the Gemara trying to bring out over here. So there is a Yerushalmi, and that the Yerushalmi says, and really it's best there, but the Achronim also explain it, that it's based on a Gemara, their point. The Gemara tells us over here, a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas, Daf Tes, says like this. The Gemara says that the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe, and he asked him to please daber nobos, name it's Bidaz Neom. Please ask of them that they should borrow the kelim and the clothing and the jewelry and all the nice things that when you go out, you should go out with their properly bedecked. So the Gemara says that the Baruch Shalom says shelo yoimar. Oisoi tzaddik, referring to Avraham Avinu, that he shouldn't say va'avadam v'inu oisam kiyem bohem. That much he enslaved them, he made them work. But the pasuk says va'achken yetsu v'chush god aloi kiyem bohem. So that you weren't mekayim by them. So Avraham Avinu shouldn't have tainas. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says, do me a favor, ask from the Jews that they go out, they have to have some loot when they go out, because otherwise Avraham Avinu is going to have tainas. Now, we understand that, of course, that's supposed to mean. If the Rabbeinu Shalom promised, not the Rabbeinu Shalom, everybody, we say a word, you give a word, you must keep to your word. The Rabbeinu Shalom cold chain. If the Rabbeinu Shalom says that I promised, then v'ach ken yaitze b'chush gotnul, then it's not because Avraham Avinu is going to say it. And listen to what the Jews said to them. So they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Omer loy, ulevai sheneitze atzmeinu, let us come, let's just get out of Mitzrayim. Forget the jewelry, forget the clothing, let's just get out of here, okay? Halavai. And the Gemara gives a moshel. The Gemara says, Mashal Adam, Shayachavush Bebeis Hasuim, Fayoimim Loi Bnei Adam, might send people come and say, you know, they whisper to him, you know what? Psst, I've got news for you. There's somebody that's breaking out tomorrow, okay? And not only that, but all the drawers and all the banks are going to be wide broken. When we blow this place up, the banks, the vaults are going to be opened up, and you're going to be able to take whatever you want as, you know, for them enslaving you, and it's going to be a great day tomorrow. So he answers them, forget tomorrow, forget blowing me out, just get me out now. Let me out now, and I won't, and I won't fix. So now the question is, though, that the moshul is not comparable to what happened over here, because the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't say, I'm going to let you out later on with the loot. I'm going to let you out today with the Daber Noh, that please ask them now that when you're going out, when I'm getting you out, I'm going to get you out the first time with the money. So then it's not comparable to the case of the fellow where you're telling him in the future you'll get out with the money, and he could weigh that against getting out now without the money. Here, the Jews were offered to get out in the first place with the money. So why in the world would they want to turn that down? Why would they? What's the problem over here with them not taking it to? It's not a good mushel. It's not a good comparison at all. So the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful pshat in this Gemara, and this is the Gemara is also what I was telling you about the Yerushalmi, that he says a yesoid, that it's really a pasuk. He says if you look at the pasuk tells us that Ribbono Shel says v'games hagoy asher yavoidu don anoichi va'acher kein yetsu b'ruchus gadol. He says Ribbono Shel promised them I will judge them first. Okay, and when I judge them to see if they did more than they had to, because they could have stuck to the letter of what they were supposed to do, but because they were evil, they did a lot more than they had to. I will judge to see if that's the case, and then for acher kein yetsu b'ruchus gadol, and then the yetsia will be b'ruchus gadol. So the Vilna Gaon explains that. That this pasuk is really the key to what we have to know. That the real Yetzias Mitzrayim really took place when we got out by Shiras Hayom. By the Yamsuf, by Kriyas Yamsuf, when we were saved. That was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Physically we left, but we really hadn't left totally. And the real, what the Rebbeinu Shlom was speaking about when he said that there will be a Yetzias Mitzrayim, he was referring to when we were finished with them once and for all, when they were vanquished al hayom. That's what he was referring to. So he says, if, and really that's what the pasuk is saying. Yeah. So if you understand.
And what they recovered from the Yom is said to have been greater
than. That's right. We'll get to that. That's absolutely correct. And the reason for that is because the Mitzrayim, we know that they the big commerce over there was the horses. The Egyptian steeds were, that was the big thing, and they made sure that they bedecked the horses with all their jewels. Like by them, that was their pride and joy. So they would make it look beautiful, and they would take all these nice jewels, and they would put all these nice covers on the horses. So that's what you're saying is correct, that the Bizas Hayom was even greater than it was in Mitzrayim. So now we understand, according to this, the Vilna Gaon, the Gemara very well. Because that it's only because Baruch Shem is saying on a certain level, Avraham Avinu is going to say, he's going to see they got out of Mitzrayim and they walked out empty-handed. So Avraham Avinu, between the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and between the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Avraham Avinu will have tainas on me that, hey, what's going on? There was no Rechush Gadol. Now, according to many, the Rechush Gadol is referring to the Torah that we're going to get. But, you know, the Baruch Shem takes care of everything at Tzur Tomim Polo. Everything about Ribbono Shel Olam has to be perfect. And if certain people are not on the level where they can appreciate that the Rechush Gadol is, okay, spiritually you gave me something, but I worked, and I have a broken back, and I have arthritis, and I have all kinds of tzoros over there. Where is the Rechush Gadol that takes care of that, that will pay me for that? So Ribbono Shel Olam says, if so, and really that was supposed to be the Bizas Hayom. But that didn't take place yet. But the Yetzias Mitzrayim that the Ribbono Shel Olam promised that will be, that really was only going to take place later. But in order that Avraham Avinu shouldn't have tainus, that right now they're going out empty-handed, so because of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam had to plead with the Jews through Moshe, Daber Noh. So now we understand already the mushel, the example that the Gemara gives us over here. The example is very good because of the fact that the Jews knew that if we borrow all this from them, they're going to come after us. If we escape with our lives and we don't have their money, so then they're going to say, "Listen, you know, let's cut our losses." But if they have all of our money and all of our jewels, we're going to have to go after them. So the Jews said, "What are you giving me an option now? You're giving me an option to go out. You're right. I'm going to take the money now. But if I take the money now, they're going to come after me." So, halavai, I should get out now, empty-handed, they don't come after me, I'm free from them, and that's what the person that was in jail said. Let me go out today, I'll go out empty-handed, but at least I know I'll be free, as opposed to going out tomorrow with the money, I'd rather make sure that I get it done now. So the Jew said the same thing. Let's make sure that we're going to get out of here. We don't need them coming after us. We don't need the fright that's going to happen, that they're going to come after. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't even know the whole thing. And now, we understand that the Moshul is very good. So with this way, we understand the Gemara. And with this point that the really Yetzias Mitzrayim took place on the Yam Suf, we can understand many, many problems, many, many issues, and we even can find that it has a bearing lahalocha. Did you ever wonder why is it that the Jews, when they went to Paro, they went to him and they said, "Let's go out for 3 days." All right? Well, they didn't say we're breaking, we're leaving. They just said, "Let us go for to serve Hashem. We need to go Chag Hashem for 3 days." So they didn't say anything. They were certainly at the end, once the Makkos had started, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a position to tell him that. But he never said that. Once he said, "Oh, now you see what I really mean. You should have taken my offer for 3 days. You didn't do that. Now we're leaving forever." That never happened. It was always under what appears to be a guise that let us go out for 3 days. That's the one question, that why did it have to be with a Ramos, with tricking the Mitzrim? So some want to answer that the reason was because it was Mida Keneged Mida, where Paro tricked us in the beginning. That's how he got us to do all the work in the beginning. So likewise, it was Mida Keneged Mida. But it could be we have a different answer. Another question that we really want to know is that it's very fascinating that it's the Rosham in this parsha itself, in this pasuk, that the Rosham says it's v'yishalu, you borrow from them. Don't go to the Mitzrim and say, "Listen, you know, we worked for you for many years. We're leaving. You lost, right? And now, you know, it's time for you to pay us for all the work." And since the Barshalom, they anyway had the Chayna on Beinei Mitzrayim, they had the Chayna, the Barshalom gifts, and then they're going to say, "Okay, what's right is right. You worked for us. Here's your wages that you..." They didn't say that. They said, "Can we borrow these things from you?" Now, why did it have to be with the borrowing? So they could have just asked for, "We're leaving. Can we have gifts for what, you know, when you say..." That's a parsha in the Torah. When you send a slave, you have a little akaris hatoiv, and you give them the gifts. Why didn't they said, they have said that. They said, "Can we borrow it?" But according to this Vilna Gaon, we understand it very well. That it comes out that that was not this man of the Yetzias Mitzrayim yet. It wasn't designated at that time that they were going out. So they couldn't go and ask, "Our service is up, and we want to get paid for everything." And it had to be Derech Shaila, they were borrowing, because at that time, they were not finished yet with the thing. Now, it could be that at the end of the week, they didn't know what, the Mitzrim didn't know what they had, but at that point, the Jews couldn't go ahead and say, "Give us the money that you owe us," because they weren't finished with their service. And now we can also understand the first point that they said all along, "Let us go out to serve Hashem," because the initial going out, even though that was the purpose, but they clearly showed or led Paro to believe that, even though Paro knew that, "Who are you kidding? You're never coming back." But nevertheless, it was done with those words. So, according to the way we understand the Vilna Gaon, it's very good that they were not the official. That was not the official leaving. That was not our Yetzias Mitzrayim where it was going to be over. We'll get to that. That was not the Yetzias Mitzrayim that is all finished. That was just the very big haschola of the matter. So, and therefore, they asked, "Can we borrow? Because we're still working for you." They asked, "You know, we're going to take a vacation, but we're not leaving forever." Why? Because the time was not up, and they knew the time was not up, and therefore, that's why they posed it like that. Now, in addition, there is a very, very important halacha that we learn from here. The Magen Avraham says like this. The Gemara discusses what happens if a person doesn't know which parshas of Kriya Shema he says in the morning. And not only that, but what happens if he doesn't even know if he said the bracha. So the Gemara goes back and forth. It's based on the Gemara and brachas, and there's a lot of tshuvas on this. But the halacha is, what parts of it do you have to say over? So the halacha goes through various different stages. But one point that is brought is clearly la halacha is that you have to say the third parsha of tzitzis over regardless. If you're misupik about that, so the first, second parsha of Yom Shemayim, that you don't have to possibly say over because you are mekayim, according to the shittas that say you're mekayim, the ikir, kriyishma with shema, so I don't have to say that, I don't have to say that over. But the third parsha that you must repeat because that has Ezechi Yitzis Mitzrayim and you have to masculine Yitzis Mitzrayim every day. Everybody holds that. So the Magen Avraham comes along with a chiddush and he says, "But if you were there for Pesukei Dezimra and then you started dozing off, but you were there for Pesukei Dezimra and you said Oz Yashir, then you don't have to say the third parsha again. Why? Because you were Mekayim Zeichel Yitzis Mitzrayim with the Oz Yashir. Now, why were you Mekayim Zeichel Yitzis Mitzrayim with Oz Yashir? What does Oz Yashir that we got saved Al Ayam have to do with Zeichel Yitzis Mitzrayim? We know there were many Nisim that happened in the that saved the Jews on the way to Canaan. They had the Avnei Almogad. They had different the stones that came down for them. They had the Meisim with the where they hid in the caves and they wanted to head them off and ambush them. So do we say every time, if you'll mention that, that's called Zeichli Yitzis Mitzrayim because it had to do with before they came to Eretz Canaan? Certainly not. So what is the fact that we were saved, we were threatened, and we were saved Ali Amsuf, what does that have to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim? But according to the way we're saying, we can understand what the Magen Avraham is saying. The Magen Avraham is saying, because that was the Yitzis Mitzrayim, that was the Iker end of the Yitzis Mitzrayim, was when they was the Al-Yamsif. So of course it is connected directly to Yitzis Mitzrayim, and therefore if you say Oz Yashir, so you will be Mekayim with that, the Yitzis Mitzrayim. We can also answer over here, if you ever wondered, why in the Haggadah do we find that, why do we mention, we go through all, and we have a whole different dispute of how many Makas who are Al-Hayom. What is it? We're not speaking about the Amsif. You know what? If you want, someone can get up in shul and speak about it on Shvi Shal Pesach. But on the first night of Pesach, by the Haggadah, where there's a Sipur, it's a mitzvah of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim, why do we speak about the about how many makas they were loka al hayom? It's totally irrelevant to the mitzvah of the yom, to what we are supposed to be discussing. And so again, according to this, we now understand why we say we mention this in the Haggadah. You know why we mention this Haggadah? Because we're speaking about getting out of Mitzrayim, and a part, the Iker part, the end part of getting out of Mitzrayim was what happened al Yamsuf. So maybe we understand what we say. Even every morning we say in the Birkas HaShachar, it says by the end in the Birkas HaShachar we say V'Yamsuf Bakata, right? And you took us over there. Why do we mention that? The idea is that we're speaking about the geula. That's what the bracha is. Where it says geula l'tfila. So where does that part come into the geula l'tfila? The answer is that was still a chelik of the geula. All right. So now we know that we see that there's quite a few chidushim that come out, and they structure quite a few of the things that we do and that we say, and even the halacha and the Magen Avraham would come out from this halacha. Now, the conceptually why it was like that, the Reb Gifter Zecher Tzadik Livracha says that he brings a raya that really had to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim. Because if it didn't have to do with the Yitzis Mitzrayim, why in the world wouldn't we have been Kerveya, such a Hatzola of, and the Shira that we had? He brings a raya from that. Lidoris, why weren't we Kerveya such a thing, a Shira Lidoris? Why don't we say Hallel every time based on the nest that we say, or we should repeat the Shira? The answer is, he says that the Leil Shvi was, again, he goes with the same thought that this is based on the Hallel that we were Kaveh L'Doris. And the eager point of Yitzias, of the Shia, of the Yam, was the same theme of what Yetzias Mitzrayim was. And what was that? So Rabbi Aaron Kotlis says, he discusses this, Rabbi Aaron Kotlis says that the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't need to split the Yam in order to save us. There could have been many, many other ways that he could have had them not chase after us. He could have said, this is ridiculous, we're chasing after them. We just saw the 10 Makas, we lost all our Bechayos, so what are we doing over here? Right? But he couldn't let them come to their senses. He didn't let them come to their senses. He had them chase after, and he created a whole new creation of the, new creation, but he had the Kriyas Yamsuf. Why did he have to do that? The answer was that it was the same theme of what the Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. The Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about the Leman Revois Moifsai, in order that everybody should see that the Rebbeinu Shalom is the creator of the world, and he is the master over the world, and that even the Teva is something that is biyodoy to change at every time, and this was something that nobody, that the entire world didn't know, and that was the whole purpose of Leman Revois Moifsai. It was the same concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it was an extension, therefore, of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we see, according to this, that it's the same idea, and that was the end of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now let's go back to three kashas that we asked, that the Turi Evan asked. He said that if it's referring, like Rashi said over here, that it's referring to Shiras Hayom, so first of all, why wasn't that Mimisa Mimavas L'chaim? What kind of Kavul Chomer is it? The answer is, that little aspect of the end of it certainly was Mechaim, but when we structured and we're making the Kavul Chomer, we're making the Kavul Chomer on the Iker Nes, the Iker Parsha of what the Yesoid of the Dover was. And the Yesoid, the essence of Yetziah of Kriyas Yamsuf was just the end of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And since the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself was Meshibud Beikir Ligula, so therefore the Gemara said that the Beikir, you have to focus on the essence, and therefore we have a Kavul Chomer, but it was not the main part of the Yetzias of the Kriyas Yamsuf was not Mimavis L'chaim. Also, the question that he asked, where do you see that was the Kavul Chomer is a faulty Kavul Chomer because there wasn't a Takana L'dayris? It's not true, because the Iker Kavul Chomer, even though it was based on the fact that they said Shira at the end, but they wore that Shira that they said at the end was because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we're explaining, and since it was because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then that was a takana l'say l'dayrus, because we say the halal l'dayrus. So Mameila, it's a very good Kavul Chomer. If we see that when they went out from working to freedom, you say l'dayrus, they were misakinis. So we went from death to life, certainly we have to do it, and it was a takona l'dayrus. Now the one remaining question is, why don't we also say Shira? That was the third question that the Gemara said. But at least let's finish it off with how they finished it off. Why don't we also say Shira? And on that, the Gemara gives various reasons, but the question of Shagas Aryeh was, what connection does it have to the Shira? The answer is that we didn't say Shira because of the concept of the Shira, again, was that it is the end of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and based on that, we decided to say the Hallel. Now, a very important point to add in onto all of this is that when we went out, you know, the all the Mefarshim speak about this this concept that we went out of Mitzrayim early. Okay, why did we go out of We went out of 210 years, and we say Kodesh Baruch Hu Chishev Zaketz. And what was the reason for that? So we know we have many different reasons that are for that. One reason was that really it started from Yitzchak, because Mashiach didn't say you're going to be slaves in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It said in a land that's not yours, your zera, your offspring will be. So that started. The clock started ticking as soon as Yitzchak was born, because they lived in the land of Canaan that wasn't their land. Okay, and he had zera. Yitzchak, that was one answer. Another answer is they worked them at night, so therefore you have to add that to the years. Another answer is they worked them extra hard. There's various different answers. But it's biyadua that the Arizal says that the reason they had to get out by that night is because if they would have stayed just a second longer, they would have been on the 50th level of Tuma, and they would never have been able to get out. The Beis Halevi goes into this and explains it. He says, we don't have any connection to understanding the Kabbalah, the Beis Halevi says. But what it means is that that Yaakov Avinu was promised that I will take your children out. If they would have stayed any longer and they would have been on another madrega of sin, of Tumah, then they wouldn't have had any connection to the Zera to be called the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says that's what he says. It's a little different, and it more or less it's an understanding in what the Arizal is saying, that they would have been on that. So according to this this Arizal, so we understand that it all fits in very well to what we're really saying. Really, the Zman HaGeula had not come. The Zman HaGeula was supposed to be together. It should have been only one emancipation, alayam, with a punishment, however it had to be. But Roshon says, I have to get you out earlier. Because if I don't get you out earlier, you're not. So it wasn't really the Yitzhiyah the first night when we left Mitzrayim. Certainly, it was the Aschol of the Yitzhiyah. And it was the Yitzhiyah because it had to be, because there would never have been an additional Yitzhiyah, because they wouldn't have been able to be Zeichah to get out. But the fact is that, like we're saying, we understand it very well. It wasn't meant to be, and it certainly wasn't the end of the Yitzhiyah. It was just in order to enable that they get out later. But you know, I heard a tremendous question on this Arizal and on the Beis Halevi, which really you have to put some thought into it. How can you tell me that they saw the Eser Makas in Mitzrayim? They're Mark of the Korban Pesach. They see Moshe Rabbeinu with his Nevuah, right? And then you're telling me that they're sinking as we're going along. They would have waited one more second, it would have sank. It's a
80%.
Well, we'll discuss that. That's a good point. Now, how could it be that they were sinking more? You would have thought that wherever they were, maybe they spiritually can't be uplifted. But how can you say that they're sinking more? Very, very unbelievable question. Very, very strong question. But I was thinking along with another, we'll answer this like a Jew answers a question with another question. This is a question that always, I'm sure, has always bothered all of us, is if someone would tie a rope to you, take you up to a mountain, kidnap you, tie you up a rope to you, push you off the mountain, right? And then you hear him saying, should I save him, should I not save him, should I save him, should I not save him? At the end, he grabs hold of the rope and he saves you. He pulls you up and he says, okay, what do you say to me? Oh, yeah, he expects me to say thank you to him. Who pushed me off the cliff in the first place? You pushed me off the cliff in the first place, and then I should say thank you to you? So why do we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for taking us out of Mitzrayim? Who put us in Mitzrayim? We were forced to go down there. So why do we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for this? This is also a very, very deep question that we have to know, and it's very important for us that in order for our thanking the Rosh Hashanah to be a thanking that's b'shleimus, all right, that we mark it properly, we really have to come to terms with this issue.
He could have left us there, but
he put us there in the first place. We would have been in Canaan, and it would have been Sholem Al Yisrael. We were growing, we were thriving in Canaan. We had 70 children, 70 people in the family. They were all great people. So leave us in Canaan, and leave us be. So I found the answer to this, that there's a Sipurna. The Sipurna says by Yaakov Avinu when he was scared about going down to Mitzrayim. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, "Don't be scared about going down to Mitzrayim. Ki l'goy godcho simcho shom. There I will make you into a great nation." So the Sipurna says, unbelievable Sipurna. He says, "Shom, there you will be able to become a great nation. In Canaan, you will disappear. In Canaan, you will assimilate. You will marry into the Canaanim, okay? And you won't be able to exist. I can't, that I can never promise to make you into a nation if you remain in Canaan. It's if you go to Mitzrayim, where they to them, you're an abomination to them. The Canaanim were an abomination to the Mitzrayim. We know that from the fact that they said to them. There, you will be able to be separate. And we know, in fact, the Haggadah says, Malam nishohayu mitzayonim sham. We stuck out like a sore thumb over there, and we were proud about it, and we stuck to it like that. So you see that the Iker, and that's the reason why we have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, because we're looking at it only at the only thing. You sent us to Mitzrayim, and now you save us, and you tell us to thank you. Of course, because we would never be who we are or what we are, and we wouldn't even exist had we have been left behind in Eretz Canaan. Once we understand this, so now we can understand what I asked, or what this fella asked, about the Arizal, that he said that if there would have been one more minute in Eretz Mitzrayim, they would have disappeared. Because this is really, like you mentioned before, we see that it's true. That's how we were able to exist for 210 years. In Canaan, we would have disappeared long before that. But look, 80% of our people had either intermarried or certainly assimilated into the society. And with all said and done, they still... Now, why didn't those 80% come back when they saw the meets, when they saw the Nisim, when they saw everything going on, they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they saw everybody? Well, they still didn't come back. Because they were still... Their mindset had then become already the mindset of an assimilated people. That was it. That, now I understand what the Arizal is saying. Because the Arizal is saying that they were freed. They hadn't worked already for 6 months, at least, according to everybody, for 6 months, maybe even more. They hadn't worked. Now, they weren't busy. They weren't worried about their tzoros. They were free to think what they want. They saw the society all around them. And now the other sakona, not of being killed and physically disappearing, but the sakona of being intermingled and assimilating with that came. That was the sakona. So even though they saw the Nisim, they were still had the sakona of, you can see Nisim all you want, like the 80% also saw the Nisim, but there was a sakona of assimilation, and that was the Iker sakona that Moshe, that the Baruch Shalom told Yaakov Avinu, you can never stay in Eretz Canaan, you'll assimilate. And that was what's happening to them in Mitzrayim at a minute by minute basis, and they would have sunk to the level of assimilation where they would never have been able to. So according to this, We understand the whole concept. They had to go out early because they would have assimilated. And when they went out early, that wasn't really the main Seif Yitzia. The main Seif Yitzia was the Achar Kein, after I will be done, Anochi Achar Kein, Yesu Birchush Godol. But we see a very, very important concept getting back to our HaKos HaToiv that we have with the Rebbe Shalom. And that is that we say Hallel. Lamai said they were Kaveh Hallel on the first night. We said Hallel on the first night. They said Hallel on the first night. We say Hallel on the first night. And according to the way all of these are explaining, and even the Shagas Aryeh, even the Turi Evan would explain, would agree to this point, we're only saying Hallel on the Aschol of the Nes. We're not really saying Hallel on the end of the Nes. We should be Kaveh. Really, we should have the Seder, or at least we should all say Hallel on Shvi Shal Pesach, because you get together at night and say Hallel on the Shvi Shal Pesach. We don't do that. But the important... So, okay, why we don't do that is because we go according to the Aschola, and that's when the mitzvahs, that's when they were Kaveh. But that's not the point. The point I want to bring out is that it shows you how far HaKoras HaToiv goes. Meaning to say, did you ever wonder why we say Dayenu, and in essence, we repeat it twice. We say the whole Dayenu, all right, and then we say, Alach Zgan, again, then we say, Toiva Kvulu Mechbels, you did this, and we say Avav HaMechaber, we're this, Vehoitzianu, Venosan Lanu, this, we put it, we basically are repeating the exact same thing. Why the two parts of the Haggadah? What's the difference between the first part and the last part? And the answer is that the first part, after we mention each Toiva that the Moshom does, we say Dayenu. Okay? And the second part, we don't say Dayenu, we say with a Vav HaMechaber, and we say a Lashon of Toiva Kfula Umechupelis, which is a Lashon of doubling and tripling. And what that means is that when it comes to HaKoras HaToiv, the person has to know that you have to look at each Toiva separately. That's what your chiyuv is. Now, even if it didn't end up with what you want to say, but the fact of the matter is, the Bershom says, even you have to make a toif to the Mitzrayim, you can't torment them because Gerim Ayisim Eretz Mitzrayim, they did something for you. But there were a lot of other things that they did. That doesn't matter. On the good that somebody gets, even if ultimately, that now Kosher gained by the Bershom, he did us all the good, it didn't lead to any bad. It led to more good and more good and more good. That doesn't matter. It doesn't mean, don't thank me for the first good that I did for you, because there was more and it's only a part. You have to take each thing of separately and be Makar Tov. And that we see from the fact that they were Kaveh the Hallel on the first night. And they were Kaveh the Hallel on the very first night, even though that is a Chelek of just a chelik of it and just the beginning of it, because they want you to understand that you have to be makatoif for each little part. But in addition to that, the Haggadah is telling, the Baal Haggadah is telling us that we have a chiyuv to take all the little components and then look how it fits into the big one. Because when a little component fits into getting more, so it's not just you filled up your car and you have gas in your tanks that somebody brought you gas, but now the whole car is working. So then the gas becomes a part of the bigger picture, then it becomes that much greater. If your guy saves you and you're stranded, and now you got to get to a chasana that you're going to be late for, so then he didn't just bring you gas. He got you to the chasana. That's the toifa that he did. It becomes that much bigger. And when you put everything together and you put all the pieces together, then it's so much greater. And that's the chayv that we have to understand. And there's one last nakuda that we have to understand about the halal and about the shira that we say on the first night. And really, that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara said we should say Shira. And that is that Hallel, we know that there's a type of Hallel that we say that is in the calendar. You say it no matter what because the day says you're supposed to say Hallel. But in addition to that, there's another Hallel that we say because of Ma'ura, because of something that happened to us. The concept of Shira and Hallel is also Shira. The Gemara put the two together. The Gemara said, let's say Hallel. And Rashi says, what does it mean? It means Shira. So Hallel and Shira go together. Hallel and Shira go together when it has the aspect, and this is when there's a Chiyuv of Shira. There is a Chiyuv of Shira when it has two components to it. One is the greatness of Hashem. It shows off the act that's happened, how great Hashem is, that He has done something for us. And in addition to that, it also shows up as that we are the recipients of the goodness of Hashem. And for that, that changes over that it's not just a hallel, but that hallel becomes a hallel shel Shira. That's a hallel that has in it the Shira. And the Brisker Rav is a beautiful Brisker Rav on this. He says that we say Shira on the night of Pesach, because there is the rule is you don't say Shira on a toiva. We just said there's two components that have to do with toiva. Toiva that happened to somebody else, you can't say Shira on. You could say Shira on a toiva that happened to you. So Briskerov says that's the pshat that we say Chayav Adam Lirois, or like the Rambam Laharis Atzmoy Kilu Yatzim Mitzrayim. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to say Shira. But because we have the Chiyuv to live through the moment again, now our Hallel that we have is V'noimelech Fun of Shira. Now we can say before you Shira, because Chayav Adam, that's what we say in Agoda. That's the same paragraph. Chayav Adam. Therefore, we can go ahead and say this Shira. I would just to add, and could be that this is what that the
Sumay is also. To
I just want to add one nakuda that it could be that that's what we say a lashon of Shira Chadasha. We're saying that our Shira is a Shira Chadasha. Why is our Shira a Shira Chadasha? We're repeating the Hallel that was Mesukin from. We're saying about what happened to our forefathers years ago. But no, because it's Chayiv Odom Liris as Atzma, we're living through it now by the time of the Agoda. And therefore it is in fact a Shira Chadasha that we say. And so we see now an important point of it. The important point is if we're going to say the Shira, we have to live it, and it has to be Liris as Atzma, and therefore we have a Shira. And in that we have the chiyuv to say Dayenu, each thing was so great by itself, and then look at the big picture, and each thing itself, not just for the big picture, look at it, we live in it with the Torah, but each thing then becomes that much more magnified. And these are the chiyuvim, and these are the dinim that we learn out from this Gemara over here. We just finish off with a milsa de b'dichusa. We know that the we finish with the Chagadya, and we know the Chagadya, of course, has a very, very deep meaning. The Vilna Goyen explains the whole Chagadya, Al Pi Kabbalah, with a very, very deep meaning, who it's referring to. But there was once the Nesivus, the Rav of Lisa. He once went to an inn, and it was a freezing cold day, and the innkeeper had some chickens, and he had to shech the chickens. So he called in the Shoichet, and the Shoichet comes, and he's freezing his head off. He says, you know what, give me a little brumth, and give me a little whiskey to warm me up a little. I can't shech like this, I'm freezing. So he took a little bit, and then he took a second time, and he took a little until he finally felt, oh, now I'm good and warmed up, now I can shech your chickens for you. So the Nesivus went over to him and says, first, before you shech the chicken, I want to give you a big thank you. Why? He says, it always bothered me a question Why does it say Vasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shochet L'Shochet? The Shochet did nothing wrong. Shochet did a mitzvah. The Shechita, he did a kosher Shechita, and the Shechita, he made a bracha, and he shechted, mom shechted again. He says, the answer is, when do we say the Chagadya? We say the Chagadya after the Dalet Kosis. He says, after the Dalet Kosis, the Shochet had no business shechting. So this is what he told the Shochet over there. So I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher of Sameach, and everybody should have uplifting, Pesach, spiritually uplifting, and when we say Shira, it should be with our whole life, our whole heart and soul, and the Hakaras HaTayv that we have to the Baruch Shem should be understanding every Nakuda that he did for us. And thank you for having me. Amen.